we mentioned that, I think, in the 6 o'clock hour we were talking about it. I got time to do nothing outside of the things I'm already doing, but I would like to know how to, I know nothing about blacksmithing. Other than the things I've seen on TV, that, you know, you have an anvil and you're beating a red hot piece of metal and then you got a bucket of water and stuff like that. I would love to learn that, man.
Yeah, I haven't done the research, but I'd say it's probably in my top 10 manliest professions.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, honey, I got to go out back and do some blacksmithing. Pretty strong. Although I think I need to learn to weld first, and after I get that, then I can blacksmith, I guess. Probably. Welding and blacksmithing. If we could have them come set up here so we could do it like in between shows, we'd be doing something. All right, 808 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday, first day of October. Also, Tuesday, the day we check in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also, the author of the Mad Jones Trilogy, available right now over at Amazon.com. Hey, Quinn.
Hello, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good. And I really appreciated your time yesterday talking about the legacy of Jack Edwards. And that told folks that podcast available through our website or through iTunes or Stitcher to go back and check it out, because you rolled out not just the legacy specifically to Jack Edwards, to AL1, but to what it meant to Republicans in Alabama and Republicans in the South.
Republicans in the South, and really Republicans nationally, because if Republicans had not made a big push in the South, they were, you know, they were on the way out nationally. So, he was a big deal. He was a good man, and he was a good congressman.
That's for sure. Y'all go back and check that out. I want to switch gears here and talk about Washington. Another day, another impeachment story out, and now subpoena for Rudy Giuliani.
I might want to be on that grand jury I guess it's not a grand jury, but if there were a grand jury, I think it would be one of the more entertaining things to watch Rudy pinball off the walls.
Well, it's already going to be entertaining. I have a little trouble hearing you on the phone right now, but
is this better?
Yeah, that's better. So yeah, we said that this morning to when there's going to be questioning of Rudy Giuliani, how he fires back will be must listen to testimony.
Well, just about anything, as I say, just about anything Rudy Giuliani says is must listen to testimony, if only because he's so unpredictable that it's entertaining. It's the kind of thing where if you like a game of chance, well, Rudy Giuliani is a walking, talking game of chance.
That's for sure. I don't think it's to the benefit of the president to have Rudy on as much, but I'm not making the decisions. What's the scenario right now? Democrats have the ball here, drafting articles of impeachment, and then it'll come up for a vote sometime. Do you have a timeline that you think this runs in?
Well, they have said they expect a vote by the end of the year. I would, frankly, see no reason why they don't do it according to their own timeline, by that December 1st. I mean, there's not that much to look into. It's fairly cut and dry, and people forget that the whole Clinton impeachment thing, once they actually introduced the articles of impeachment, it took barely 2 months. So again, you're looking early December. And, you know, that's just on a technical angle. That's not whether or not it's deserved. That's just, you know, that's just how fast they could do it if they want to.
Yeah, and we talked a bit about this over the last week. The process here, because I think the president will be impeached. Impeach is the process coming out of the House. That doesn't mean convicted, but I think he will be impeached. I mean, the Democrats have the votes.
Oh, they absolutely have the votes. I mean, there's almost no way that he doesn't get impeached. I would bet that all but about four or five Democrats end up voting for impeachment, and I do believe there'll be four or five or six Republicans who do vote for impeachment. So, you know, you're going to have a bigger majority voting for impeachment than voted to impeach Bill Clinton in the House. Again, the Senate is a different question.
Quinn, while we wait for all the facts to kind of filter out from this call with Ukraine and the Bidens and their connection with Ukraine, can you talk politically going into 2020, what's the best case scenario for the Democrats and the best case scenario for the Republicans with this impeachment inquiry?
Well, the best case scenario for the Democrats is that some of these other witnesses that they call, including the special envoy to Ukraine, come out and say, well, yes, there was a quid pro quo, and it was rather explicit. If that happens, of course, Trump looks really, really bad, and the politics of it get better for the Democrats. And the polls are already moving in the Democrats' favor slightly on all this. That would have the polls move very much in their favor and really put some of the swing district Republicans in a bind.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, you're going to put swing district Democrats. I think there's five or six. They're going to be in a bind, too.
Oh, yeah, that's why I said that, you know, there might actually be, I said four or five, but it could be five or six Democrats who do not vote for impeachment. Mm-hmm. I also think that just based on what we know now, there'll probably be four or five Republicans who do. Even that alone would make it different from the Clinton thing because there was not a single Democrat in that case who voted to impeach. So you'll have four or five Republicans breaking party ranks.
Quinn, another part of this story that is interesting is the whistleblower and the discussion. It was the other day that Congressman Mo Brooks talked about the Sixth Amendment. And, you know, as all this is bouncing around, you know, your right to face your accuser, that should be the modus for moving forward with exposing who was the whistleblower.
That's sheer absolute nonsense, and I use nonsense in place of a stronger word that you can't say on the radio.
Why is that nonsense?
Because he is not being the information that may or may not be used to impeach Trump is not reliant on the whistleblower. The information is the information, and the validity of the information itself. The whistleblower statutes, in every other circumstance, clearly say the whistleblower is protected because they're not relying on what the whistleblower said. They're not relying on him to be the one who is credible or not. They are relying on the worth of his information completely apart from who makes the allegation. It's not a court proceeding. The court proceeding, yes, if there are specific witnesses that are relevant to what is in effect a political trial, then they would have to come public. But for the purposes right now, it's the information itself, not who brings it. And the White House has already acknowledged that the two biggest pieces of information alleged by the whistleblower are actually true. So it doesn't matter what the whistleblower's identity is. And again, we also have federal whistleblower statutes that, for very good reason, protect whistleblowers in every other circumstance.
Quinn, the president, he's been saying, and those around the president, they've been saying that that the CIA and some folks up in Washington have recently changed the law regarding whistleblowers, and that originally whistleblowers had to base their claims on firsthand information.
That was already debunked by late yesterday afternoon. I mean, 100% debunked. Mm-hmm. They are basing that on a misreading of a single memo, but it has been the case in explicitly for well over a year, and in practice, in, you know, showing other documents for way longer than that a whistleblower does not have to be firsthand.
No.
In this case, though, by the way, the whistleblower said he had some firsthand and mostly secondhand.
Yeah, and that was the interesting thing to me, too, and it may not be specific to this case, but I'm just trying to whistleblower code is not something I've studied a whole bunch, is how far does the protection go? How many degrees of separation? Let's say not even specifically this case, but person A finds out the thing. They hear the thing. I mean, they could be in a widget factory and find out that they're putting toxins in the widgets, whatever. They find it out, but the person that brings it out is 1 or 2 degrees separated from the person that found it. Do they still enjoy the anonymity protections that the original finder of the information would?
The only person that that gets whistleblower protection is a person who files for whistleblower protection. Now, the others might then file and say, well, yes, but for at least part of this, I was the whistleblower's source, and now I want to be considered a whistleblower, too.
Okay.
But again, there are rules governing what qualifies as a whistleblower. That's why we have the Inspector General system. The Inspector General, appointed by Trump, certified this guy as a legitimate whistleblower. Once that certification is done, then that person enjoys protections. If the IG certifies one of the original whistleblower sources as also a whistleblower, then they enjoy protections. If he's not so certified, then he does not. It's that simple.
All right. Before we run to the break here, too, you and I seem to agree that the House will impeach the president. My prediction is he will not be found guilty in the Senate.
Let me change that. The Senate's not necessarily really saying guilt or innocence. The Senate is saying removal or non-removal.
Correct. Which is, I mean, de facto, it's the same thing. They agree with the articles of impeachment. Wait, give me a second here. That the articles of impeachment, whatever they are, they come out of the House. Then the Senate, as the form of the jury, makes decisions on that, right? Whether it's worth impeaching or removing the president.
Whether it's worth removing the president, but it's not the same as guilt or innocence.
If you're innocent, they're not going to remove you.
No, but if you're guilty, they can say what Arlen Specter said for Clinton in 1999, which is...
Slap on the wrist.
Guilty but not removable, basically. Or he then changed it to some other language like that. But basically, you can say, look, he's guilty of what he's accused of, but I don't think that is a removable offense.
So they can have their cake and eat it, too.
Exactly.
And then, last question before the break, does this affect the numbers at all going into 2020 for President Trump?
Oh, my goodness, yes, it does. I mean, his numbers are already taking a big hit. It's not just one poll. It's multiple polls out showing that his numbers have taken a hit, and they were never good to start with. Of course, that doesn't mean that he can't win, because the Democrats could overplay their hand. And, of course, once you have a Democratic nominee for everybody to focus on, that nominee could be unpopular, could be so far left, or whatever, that they turn off people even more than Trump did, which is exactly what happened with Hillary Clinton. We have precedent for that. It could happen again.
But this slate of candidates so far left may be an understatement. Coming right back, more with Quinn Hillier at 8:20 FM Talk 106.5. At 8:26, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Yeah, those people on Twitter trying to figure out who they're listening to, at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter is me, and I am at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Talking to our buddy at Quinn Hillier from Twitter, and author of the Matt Jones Trilogy, available at Amazon right now. Read his work, Washington Examiner, over at quinnhillier.com. And you were talking to us during the break about ends and means. What were you talking about? What's your take on this?
Okay, my take is that one reason there is such a split on the political right of center is because probably more than half the people on the right are ends first people, and then there are people like me who are means first people, meaning that the ends first people think, what is the result? And if the result is to be desired, then heck, let's get there, and forget the rules, basically. And the means first people say, with Alexander Hamilton and James Madison, who wrote this in the Federalist Papers, that the very structure, the political structure of our constitutional republic, I'm not talking about all the bureaucratic rules, the secondary day-to-day bureaucratic rules, which is something different, but the superstructure is what protects our liberty. And that it doesn't matter what the ends are if you completely trample the means. So, for example, to get out of this esoteric level, if you think the Bidens are clearly sleazy just by what we already know, and therefore it is a good thing to go after the Bidens, and then you say, well, by gosh, he's the president, he can do what he wants, and his motives are good because he's going after these sleazy people, well, then it's patently obvious to you that, looking at it from that standpoint, that, well, of course what he did is okay. But of course Trump did it was okay. If, on the other hand, you say it doesn't matter whether the Bidens are guilty or innocent when you analyze what the president did, if they are guilty of something, we have procedures that will get them. You have a duly appointed investigation under U.S. law, and that's how the system is supposed to work, and we trust the system will work. But meanwhile, the worst thing in our idea, in the way we see things, is not observing the big guardrails of the constitutional republic. And we especially distrust presidential power or abuse of presidential power. So we can say, as I have, I wrote a whole column that Bidens are sleazy, we need to look into it, et cetera, and still say this is not the right way to go about looking into it. That's the divide. And I'm not saying, you know, I think my side is right, but to give the other side due, you know, you can make a legitimate case that, well, that's just being practical, et cetera, et cetera. But that's what the divide is on the right. It's those two ways of looking at how you go about assessing these things in the first place.
Well, and I hear what you're saying, and I kind of feel I'm in one camp, and I always preach consistency. At the same time, I am open-minded to what other people worry about, and we have just a minute left here, but I think people say, hey, this cabal that's set up against President Trump is not operating within the rule of law, not adherent to the Constitution, so you can't play softball with people that are playing Major League fastball.
And I just say that's absolute crud. Our system can and will find them out, especially because Trump's people run the Justice Department. If the Trump people and Bill Barr cannot find something that these people did legally wrong when they wield all the levels of power, then you know what? Maybe they didn't actually break any laws. Yeah. The system actually works, especially when your guys are in charge of the system. So don't break the rules, follow the rules, and then go after the bad guys using the rules.
There we go. Quinn Hillier, we appreciate your time. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Coming right back. You can turn some of those texts into phone calls. We'll take them. Also, I want to talk about college athletes getting some money here. It's an Unpopular Opinion Tuesday.
837 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. It's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton.
Let's talk about the McConnell experience and why shopping at McConnell is different than any other auto dealership.
Well, you know, Dalton, I think we're different than most, at least. And the reason is, but it just kind of stripping away some of the disappointments. You know, if people are out there listening and maybe they shopped somewhere, Dalton, and they just didn't like the experience. They got the runaround, or they picked a vehicle out, went to the place and tried to get that price, and you know, it wasn't easy to get that price. What we do is just kind of old-fashioned. We've been around since 1955, and we've got, I think, McConnell Automotive, Dalton, I think maybe the easiest website.
Mm-hmm.
We've got about 100 used cars, over 300 Buicks and GMCs, and every one of them, what we try to do, buddy, is discount it down as low as we can without making the customer negotiate and making it super simple. And, you know, anything somebody needs, we're just transparent, keep it straightforward. And if somebody out there listening, maybe if you had a bad experience shopping for a car in the past, give McConnell a shot. And I don't think people will be disappointed today.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Have a good one.
Oh, have a great day.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 838, phone number, text line 343-0106. Also on Twitter, listen, I don't need any of that from you, Callahan. Mike Callahan giving me grief about the, by the way, thank you. We were nominated and won Small Business of the Month for the month of October.
All right.
For Mobile Chamber of Commerce. We are small business. If y'all are new to this, we are a locally owned radio station.
I didn't know there was such a thing until I started working there.
The home office is Mobile. We all are here in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
The chain of command is all in Mobile.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I know it's a weird deal. We got another super cool contest coming your way. We're going to talk about this more coming up soon. And we don't have to run those disclaimers that some listeners are not from it's people from right around here that win our contest.
Yeah.
We are local.
251. It's always on the area code.
It is the 251. Although these days, if somebody lives here and they got a 256 or got a 504, but they're all here.
That's right.
All right. And we'll get phone calls and text. Let me go to phones first, and then I'm going to grab some of these texts as well. Dale's been holding on in Daphne. Hey, Dale.
Where do I begin with Quinn? Goodness, when you hear a supposed Reagan conservative praise the virtues of the federal bureaucracy and the whistleblower laws and the IG levels of bureaucracy, when you hear somebody like that praise it, you know something's incredibly wrong. But the Washington Examiner was absolutely destroyed by Rush Limbaugh yesterday as fake news. And, of course, that's the paper that pays Quinn to write there. But it was just last week, Sean, I think you particularly called Quinn out when he was supposedly reporting on the prosecutor in the Ukraine. And my memory is he just said, trust me, Sean, he's a good guy. He was the guy that was removed by Joe Biden.
Yeah, remember what I said is I don't claim to know about prosecutors in the Ukraine, so I'd like to have somebody give me information on whether they were corrupt or not corrupt, and the new one is, are they corrupt or not corrupt? I need to know that.
Well, last week he told you just to trust him.
Right.
That he was right, and the international community wanted to get rid of him, and then you see Rudy Giuliani on TV this weekend with affidavits from those same prosecutors who were removed by Joe Biden saying that they were specifically removed because they were investigating that company and Biden's son. He's got affidavits from court proceedings in the Ukraine. But wait, just trust Quinn. Everybody wanted to get rid of the guy. Yeah, everybody in the deep state and every never Trumper wanted to get rid of him. But I mean, I can't believe Quinn is doing this. Sniffed this guy out for a long while now. He is a never Trumper.
Well, he's been public about that. He said he's a never Trumper from the beginning. Well, I would say though, here's the weird place I find myself in though. I do agree with him about using the rule of law. And I'm still a sucker for that. And I don't want to erode, when we make moves, I said it during Obama, I said it during Bush before him, when we erode rule of law for convenience, I do not think it's healthy for our republic. But you have to be open-eyed, and I agree that there's people that have their knives out for Trump, and you don't want to hear that.
Yeah, apparently. Did you see that?
That's a good way to look at it. Let's not listen to anything contrary.
That photo that came out, I think last night, might have been on Tucker Carlson, but with the Bidens, which I think we'll hear more about, what went into that relationship with the Bidens and Ukraine over the coming months, especially if they delve further into this impeachment. But Hunter Biden was saying that he and his father only once or never spoke about matters in Ukraine. A photo came out recently here with Joe and Hunter Biden, I guess, golfing at the Hamptons with someone on that same Ukrainian board that Hunter Biden was serving on. So, this is just the beginning. And even though it seems like we've been talking about this for an eternity now, the news really hit, what was it, beginning of last week or maybe late the week before, there's going to be so much more coming out, not only about, the president and his dealings with the Ukrainian president and what he asked him to do, but also the Biden's connection there in the administration before.
So here's the, does one equal the other? Is it a zero-sum game? Or is this you could pursue the Biden thing. The Democrats are going to pursue this impeachment. It's like I said, the president will be impeached by the House. I don't think it goes anywhere in the Senate, but he will be impeached by the House. Mm-hmm. This is the easiest bet in Vegas.
Right.
So they've got the votes. They're going to do this.
And were the Democrats intentionally going further into this to maybe bring down both the president and who was their leading Democrat candidate, Joe Biden? Do they even want him at the top of the ticket?
By the way, yeah, and also from the text line, the system doesn't work, especially if you're conservative, which you wouldn't know anything about, Quinn Hillier. This one here, let's see. Ask why the Democrats always get a pass. I don't know. I mean, this is, you know, but at the same time, I think you can still say you have to have a system. Now, you got to vet out those people that are, that have their knives out for the president, whether it's the deep state or somebody out of convenience or Democrat operatives. You got to vet that out. But to be cliche, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Make sure that you have the right people doing things for the American people. But we have to hold on to the rule of law in the Republic. We have to. Or we're not, the same way I believe if you don't have borders that you enforce, you're not a nation. If you do not have rules of law that apply with blindness, you know, Lady Justice, hand over your eyes. If you don't have that, then you're not the nation and the republic that I love.
But is there anyone in D.C. or anywhere else that's 100% straight on that anymore that doesn't care whether there's an R or D next to the name?
There was.
Not anymore?
Yeah, when Jeff Sessions left. All right, let's go to Tracy and Daphne next. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, guys. Several things with your previous guest. First off, he's basing his on polling statistics, correct? His opinion on
he doesn't follow polling. Yeah, he's got his own opinions. He always has. He's been on with us for 10 years, so.
Well, he said polling-wise that Trump is dropping.
Yes, he said that. Even though there's polls, listen, like I said this morning, there's going to be so many polls with so many outcomes. Wait for about 40 of them to come out and maybe take an average.
Yeah, but here's my question to that is, do we really know, because in 2016, we know the polls were way off. Mm-hmm. What corrections have they made to the polls to get them more accurate?
Well, I know the ones that really stepped in it in 2016, there are a few of them are out of business.
Yeah, some of them do.
So the market took some.
And, you know, keep in mind, when you see that there's a new poll out there, read who commissioned the poll. Read right next to it and look into who did it.
I've been in marketing for decades, and I can tell you I can make a poll say whatever I want it to by sampling the right people. Polling isn't always accurate. But the other thing that he said is that this Justice Department is Trump's Justice Department, and I beg to differ. 80% of Washington is not a Democrat, and they're not a Republican. What they are is what we call a bureaucrat.
That is what Tracy just said there, y'all. Hold on to that. That is, Tracy, preach, because people think often that things are done for some high idealistic political notion when they're often done for keeping your job.
Exactly. And that is exactly what Washington, D.C. is now. It's all bureaucrat. When people say Republican or Democrat, they're falling for the trap that's lit for them. Because half of America believes that everything that's wrong is because of a Democrat, and half of America thinks everything is wrong because of a Republican, and yet Congress, you know, they're the same. They vote basically the same. What has changed in the past 3 decades, no matter whether it's Republican or Democrat? Not much.
Tracy gets call of the day right now. Right now, leading contender for call of the day. Get some more calls when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106, online, fmtalk1065.com, and at fmtalk1065 on Twitter.
Now I'm at Dalton Orwig, DalTonOrwig.
There's a picture of me in a sport coat everybody's making fun of on Twitter, so you got to sign up and see it.
I'm about to Photoshop it up.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Right, 8:52, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this first day of October, and it won't feel like it.
Hot-tober.
Yeah, hot-tober. up in the 90s today. Although Dr. Bill has some hope for us Sunday into Monday, some rain and some cooler temperatures. You know, I remember, like, this upcoming weekend, this first weekend in October in the past, and I'm not bringing up a Bayfest discussion. Although, by the way, I do want to, there's some, there's a, Dale Leash has a good story in Lanyap, the new Lanyap out, about actually the update on the website at lanyapmobile.com about the mayor, Mayor Stimson, and the city council, and this arbitration stuff that has been driving me berserk.
Haven't heard of it.
You know, by the way, there's an analog here, too, that I feel, and I know that there's members of the council will disagree, and y'all may have the facts to prove me wrong. I'm telling you how I feel. I feel that not all the attention that should be placed on doing the work of the city is being placed on it, because there's a lot of who gets to fire this person, hire this person, who gets to who's going to be the city council president, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That seems like clerical things to me that I want to have worked out. And I don't want to just have an agreement reached. I want a precedent set so we know how the Zogby Act applies. I see the same thing at some degree going on in Washington when it's there's so much time spent scoring political points that the loser in this, the loser in this are the American people. Even though you may think you're a winner because your side won, oh, they got impeachment, or they didn't get impeachment, or this is the Russian collusion hoax, or they proved this. What happens, and Tracy said it earlier, what happens is a whole bunch of political wranglings and bureaucrat wranglings and not the work of the people.
Well, you can't say it doesn't make for good drama.
It makes great drama. It makes great for talk radio, and I wish I was into the soap opera as much as I'm very familiar. I study the soap opera. I talk about the soap opera on the show, but there's part of me that sure would love to have substantive discussions about policy and where our nation goes and fiscal issues and international policy as well. But that doesn't hold a candle to what is a daily unveiling of a seedy daytime drama.
Yeah.
It goes on in Washington, and it goes on at, I think, all levels of government where you allow it.
Well, you know, earlier this year, I guess last month, for me, it was a fresh reminder that the people still have a lot of power with this toll bridge discussion. And
that was a real political discussion.
Yeah.
Right? It was a grassroots engaged one. It wasn't.
Yeah, because
even though there was drama involved, there was some daytime drama involved in that thing too, with the sniping back and forth. But there was a real issue that was facing people.
Of course, but it wasn't. I mean, Jim Ziegler took the helm early, and he helped organize this no toll movement. But really, he wouldn't have done that if he didn't hear so many people from down here who are against this toll to begin with. And that, I think, really, as much as Ziegler wants to take credit for that, I think it really started with the people of Mobile and Baldwin County. And I think that could extend past just toll bridges. We need to get on our public officials when they're not doing their job. And that job needs to be done if we want to see our communities, our local communities, our state, and our nation thrive the way it has in the past. We got to get back to doing what the people need to be done.
Yeah, okay. Look at this issue, and the toll issue, I was wondering why there was so much quiet from Democrats, because I saw this as not even a bipartisan issue. I said a nonpartisan issue. And there's things I think that you can argue at a federal level or that way too, but those things end up taking a second seat, you know, second fiddle to what is the most dramatic story of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, he didn't say, she said, she didn't say, you know, my team, your team. Now, Are there facts behind why this stuff should bother you? Sure there are. Sure there are. And I get that. I want those things to be dealt with quickly so we can get back to boring, wonky policy discussions. But I think probably won't happen. All right. Text says, what exactly does it mean if President Trump is impeached but not removed from office? It means just that, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. It means the impeachment process. Now, he will be impeached. So the House is drawing up the articles of impeachment. They will vote on those at some point in the future. The Democrats have the majority in the House. Might have some Republicans go along with it. I don't know how many that would be. They will vote to impeach the president. At that point, he has, as the active verb, he's past tense verb, he's been impeached. Then it goes to the Senate, where the Senate decides whether, and Quinn and I got into a semantic discussion, whether it means guilt or removal, okay, whatever you want to call it. But the Senate acts as the jury. House acts as a grand jury, deciding if they think there's enough to kick it up to the Senate. The Senate serves as the jury. You have Justice Roberts as the judge in that situation over it, and the jury would be the members of the Senate. At that point, if nothing happens, he has been impeached, but people say, well, he can't run then. Oh, yeah, he can. Yeah, he can, because he wasn't found guilty or removed. And just like Jeff Poore said last week on the show, if President Trump weathers this and gets reelected, which I still think is a strong possibility, he'll probably be impeached in his second term, too. He might be the president who has been impeached twice. See if it goes there.
Fascinating.
All right. So more on the soap opera, though. Mike Gallagher on the way in next. See you at noon for Midday Mobile.